Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
I made mention earlier about the belt of truth being a piece of your armor. In a little while, I'm going to struggle to put this on. It's made for a smaller man, but it's the one that I had this morning, accessible out in the garage digging through boxes. I found it and had to wash it off. And in the process of washing it off, it got me dirty, and I couldn't get the dirty off when I got to church. So you get a wash belt and the dirty pants. So that's just how it is. But this morning, the belt of truth is meant to give you backbone. The belt of truth is meant to give you some stability and some support when you're lifting a burden that is really beyond your ability. The belt of truth helps you hold everything together when you don't think it'll come together on its own. Helps you suck it in a little bit when you're pushing hard to push out. What this will do is give the illusion that I'm in a little better shape than I am when I put it on, and it'll make me feel a little stronger as a result. Did you know God knows what shape you're in, and he still offers to you the belt of truth so that you can be an intimidator to the enemy, that you will intimidate the works of darkness rather than darkness intimidating you? And if you don't put on the belt, you'll be the one intimidated. But if you will put it on and learn how to wear it appropriately, you will interfere with the works of darkness. You will be the one to interrupt the flow of the enemy and break rank on this world and step into the rank of the Holy Spirit of God, where he has something more. And we can't do it on our own. We are too busy as God's people trying to produce something spiritual without the Holy Spirit's help. And you can't do it without the helper. So I've just learned, when I'm going to do any kind of heavy lifting, whether it be at the gym or in the spirit, he provided something to support me. I might grow in stability pushing up the weight. I might grow in stability as I learn the word of truth and pray right. But I'm never going to be able to do all that he's called me to do without putting on the belt of truth and sucking it in a little bit. Now, why do we have to do that? Because we get a little too comfortable navigating in this world with God's help, and we put up with things rather than overcome things. The truth is meant to set us free. That means to overcome in some things. Now, I believe that we're ministering in a season where the American church is weak, and she needs to become stronger. The way you get a stronger church is you minister a strong word. Now, I don't know, not everybody's for that. A lot of folks are for, give me what tastes good to me. Well, if I ate what tastes good to me all the time, I couldn't get this belt around me no matter how hard I tried. Because I would just get bigger and bigger. And you know, I can work out harder and harder and harder, but if I still eat whatever I want, I'm going to get nothing but fat. All right? And you're going to look at me and there might be some muscle under there, but you can't define it because it lacks definition. This morning, I want to encourage you that your spirit might be like that. You might lack definition where your outward life does not reveal how hard you're working, because maybe there's some things in your diet that need to go. Maybe there's some things in your exercise regimen that aren't there yet. You say, well, this sounds like an awful kind of a message. No, this is meant to make you stronger. Nothing in this world comes easily. This, what we're receiving from God, comes by a miracle of God, that his word can have authority in our lives and we literally put it on. You may not feel like you've got it in you because you probably don't have enough word in you. But you know what? He says we can put it on, and who's on the inside with what he says on the outside makes a formidable enemy to the devil himself. The authority of God is in you, but you might have to put his word on you to get it in your mouth. I see increasingly as the years go by, people expect the preacher to do more for them, that miracles will come through the preacher. Miracles will come by God's word in your mouth. There's no restriction to miracles except putting his word in your mouth, and you put it on before it gets in you. You can't really get something in you till you put it before you for a while. God's answer to putting vision before you is to belt it around your middle, suck it up, suck it in, and learn how to stand strong. If I wear this long enough, I'll be uncomfortable eating wrong things, and I will decide it's not worth it anymore. You might be filled with things that the enemy's put in your mind called reasoning. We live in an information age. If you're not careful, you will trade reasoning for truth. And when you accept reasoning instead of God's truth, you will become compromised and weaker and weaker. So many in the body of Christ don't look like Jesus at all anymore because they don't take the belt of truth and put it on. Without that belt, you will not look like the king of anything. You will look like you are a defeated foe, and you will begin to look like the enemy in the earth rather than Jesus in the earth. Jesus is the victor. To walk in his righteousness, we've got to put it on. We've got to decide, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to compromise no matter what. This gives me the ability to not be compromised in my back as I'm doing some heavy lifting. If you don't know it, you live in the age of heavy lifting. You live in a season where there is great resistance against your success in God. You live in an age where even many in the nation and in the government have decided to legislate for man rather than to protect our ability to serve the living God. And if you don't put on the belt of truth, you will get over into reasoning with so many people and do away with the power of God. This is the beginning of the power of God in you, is to put his word upon you. Now, this morning we're going to look at John 17:11 because Jesus, before he went to the cross, was praying for his church. And he said, Father, I pray that you make them holy as even I am holy. That's John 17:11. Jesus' words for the church was a prayer that we would be holy as the Heavenly Father is holy. And Jesus' word still applies today. When you put his word on you, you become holy in the sight of God. Without it, you are appearing as a defeated person in the earth. Holiness comes by putting on the belt of God's strength. Not by saying, I'm going to do everything right, but be determining, I'm going to do it God's way. You know, God's way ends up being right. It ends up being right. But we can get into reasoning. We have wonderful information available. Be careful. Or your intellect and your reasoning and your thinking of things will usurp God's authority in your life, and you'll begin to think about things more than putting on the belt of truth. When my mind starts going in a certain direction and I perceive that it doesn't line up with truth that I know, I don't reject the belt. I reject the other stuff called reasoning. And I say, I cannot trust myself with all this information unless it is first covered by the information that comes from heaven. Because when we accept the information age, if we're not careful, we'll be so embracing of all that information, we will not ask God what the truth is first. And we get in trouble. You can reason away God's word bit by bit. Reasoning will quickly make you unholy in the sight of God. Jesus knew this would happen. He knew that in latter days that there would be a great increase of two things, information and transportation. Why? To move us around quickly, to give us information so that we can feel like we are informed. If you become more informed to what's going on to the world than you are to what's going on to heaven, you're going to get in trouble. The earth tries to steal your capacity to know what Jesus says about you and what Jesus wants from you. And if you don't know what he says about you, you will feel burdened by what he wants from you. If you don't know his word says he sets you free, when he asks you to do something, you're going to feel like it's a bondage. And you're going to feel like God always wants something from me. No, you're missing some part of freedom and liberty in the truth if you're feeling burdened by the gospel. Jesus said his way was easy. And his burden was light. He didn't say it would be hard. It becomes hard because we get into reasoning and we begin to think we know more about things than God does. And it gets us in trouble. You say, well, I would never do that. I would challenge you. Because you live in a modern world. If your pastor has to arrest himself every so often and say, I better stop thinking about this and start praying about this. I better stop getting over in my mind and figuring out why I am right to do it this way when God told me to do it that way. I better decide to do it that way before I get in trouble doing it my way. I better put this belt of truth on and recognize I got to suck it up here. You might want to say that. I've got to suck it up here. See, if we don't, we become compromised. When we become compromised and we hear the word of God, the belt's a little tight. We've let ourselves go a little bit. We've let ourselves get beyond the boundaries that we should be walking in. And that's the state of the church today. Say, well, Pastor, you're preaching to people who are in church. Yeah, and you're going to preach to the people who are not. So, you know, a lot of what I bring is to empower you to do the will of God. It isn't just to satisfy you. It's to put you out there to do the will of God. He's called us as a church to make disciples. That means that we rally to cause people to come back to the things of God and do what they're supposed to do. Every so often I complain to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm tired of being a disciplinarian in the church. You know, he doesn't respond to that. He's just like, so you're tired. Suck it up, Doug. Deal with it. This is part of your calling. This is part of what I need you to do. This is why you were born into the earth. And this time, this is a part of your calling. I wish it could be all just fun. But it isn't. Now, this is Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. And this is New American Standard Version. He says, because lawlessness shall abound. And that word lawlessness means iniquity or a kind of sin. He said lawlessness by ignorance or intent. Did you know you're just in just as much trouble, you give just as much room for the devil to work if you're ignorant and make a bad decision as if you have the truth and you make the decision anyway? He said whether it's ignorance or it's your intention to do the wrong thing, we get in trouble with the wrong thing. That's a pretty strong picture of accountability. God holds you responsible for what you don't know, not just what you do know. Well, you don't hear that preached much today. But I'm here to tell you that should alert us and make us a little bit afraid. Say, I better get to know some more stuff. I better find out God's truth instead of more information. We entertain ourselves with information, but we get set free by the truth. There's a difference. I'd rather be set free when it comes down to it. You know, I think in ancient Rome, there was a lot of entertainment, people being eaten by lions till they were one being thrown in the arena to be eaten. And that's the difference in truth and information. Which side of the arena do you want to be on? It's the devil that tries to destroy people's lives, not God. Now, he says, because this lawlessness is in the earth and abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, that word endure is the key word here. That's the word we want to know because we can't escape this world till we're in heaven. So we have to endure some things. That word endure means to abide under and bear up courageously. That means you are called to live within this troubled place, but to come up out of it in some victory. We're not to escape early. We're not to put our head in the sand and say, well, I just don't want to deal with anything. You are called to deal with it. You are called to suck it up. You are called to endure it. You are called to bear it up. You are called to throw the weight up, not grunt and groan to get it up, but lift it and throw it up there and say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. But the enemy tries to get us to not want to do it. Well, other people are not doing it. Other churches are not preaching that. Other people are not being confrontational. If you don't confront the world, it'll run over you. Now, we validate truth by doing it. We violate the truth and we get chaos. We look at the scripture and the scripture is a guide to keep us out of trouble. The scripture is a guide that will get us into God's best. The scripture is a guide to restore God's blessing. The scripture is a guide that we have to do to get anything out of it. Otherwise, we're walking knowledge and we're kind of like people of the world. We've got a walking knowledge, walking around knowing stuff, but not able to do it. He wants us to be able to do it. But when we give to knowledge or reasoning before truth, we get chaos. I want to draw your attention to some of the commandments, the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 20. You find them and we think, well, thou shalt not kill. Most everybody here knows not to kill somebody. And we respect it more, not because God said it, but because if we kill somebody, we might go to jail or might die, might get killed ourselves. So God's rule kept by man helps keep order and eliminates some chaos. And we respect that. And our nation respects that. So much so that if you kill somebody, you're going to go on trial. You're going to most likely get caught, get in trouble, get punished. We then think about thou shalt not commit adultery. Think, well, any Christian knows that's true. But a lot of Christians choose to do it anyway. And God said whether we're in ignorance or intentional about it, it gets us in trouble with Him to break away from the truth because of reasoning. So people get into reasoning all the time. Why? There's not a law in this nation that you'll go to jail for that. So people tend to break that commandment more. Do you see how reasoning is entered in? Yep. He looks good. She looks good. I've been doing without. It's my turn. I've got to fill in the gaps. I've got to live like everybody. I've got to enjoy myself while I can. And then all kinds of banners throughout your day suggest you should be a part of that, not miss out on that. What keeps you from it? Maybe God's laws, maybe your spouse. Maybe enough of the truth is in you to say, I'm not going to do that. I cast down those imaginations. I'm not, and we do some spiritual battle because we have too much to lose. It's not necessarily because we respect the author of the book that said don't do it, and we're not necessarily putting on the truth, but rather we're thinking of the consequences. Lucinda used to warn me straight up, I will chop off body parts if you are not faithful. I wonder why she had to give me that warning, see? Now, you laugh, but we respect our covenant with one another, sometimes because of consequences, rather than just accepting the truth. But similarly, people get in bigger trouble spiritually by violating other commandments. The biggest thing I believe going on in the nation, in the church world right now is thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that usually is connected to you will keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Why? He's holy. Did you know God does not put up with the lack of holiness for very long? Whenever we don't embrace holiness, we reject a big part of the truth because holy is a part of God's name. Holy is how He defines Himself in the Spirit. Holy is the highest part of God. And when we reject that, we are always rejecting God's best. Yet many would discern or reason in their heart, well, today I need to miss church because my kids having this or doing that. What did we just do? We just put our kids above God's truth, and we demonstrated they're more important than holy. Ooh, well, that cost you in the long run. Or work called us in, and instead of saying no, we said, well, I'll be there with bells on. Ooh, well, that get us in trouble. So, but Pastor, there's a grace for that. Yeah, there's a grace for that to get out of that. There's never a grace to do contrary to God's truth. That's what the belt is about. That's when you put it on and suck it up and say, I'm not giving in to that. Amen. And every day you will have some kind of opportunity to give in and throw the belt to the ground. And when you do, your support system will be lacking. When you do, you will find that you're out there on your own. When you do, you will find you can't hold the shield of faith up like you thought you could. When you throw the belt of truth down, because it's the first thing you put on in Ephesians 6. If you don't put it on and keep it on, you're not going to be able to hold up the shield of faith. You're not going to be able to take hold of the sword of the Spirit. You're going to be too busy with your hands trying to gird up information around you like truth and suck it up and suck it in and do it like the world does. The world doesn't have a shield of faith. The world doesn't have the sword of the Spirit. You're meant to carry those in your hands and that be your preoccupation. And when you do that, chaos will be eliminated in your life instead of added to your lifestyle. God wants His people free and not in bondage. And we have to start where He said to start. He said we would embrace the truth and that truth would set us free. You know, when you're wearing the belt and there's chains coming around you, your hands are free to cut off the chains and you don't need help from other people. Jesus made you have the capacity to be free, to stay free, and set others free. And you have to have your hands free to do it by putting this thing on and keeping it on. And there's times you might have to take it in a notch or two. So, well, that makes it hard to breathe. Yeah, sometimes we get in those situations that take our breath away. We had better get a hold of God's truth in that situation. Well, now that I've got your attention, maybe we'll start the message. I want you to understand how God sees lawlessness. People's idea of lawlessness, your idea of lawlessness might be murderers locked up in prison that you think deserve to be there. God's view on lawlessness has to do with our ignorance and inability. Jesus came as a sacrifice to make the difference between how the Heavenly Father was seeing humanity and how the Heavenly Father would see you and me. Jesus saved us from something so he could move us into something. I question today a lot of Christians, what did Jesus save them from when they tell me they're saved? Did you know most Christians have trouble answering that? So, well, I basically was a good person before I came to know Jesus. Well, that's usually the person that was the most lost, because they, in reasoning, were thinking they were pretty good. When we start reasoning and thinking we're pretty good, we're probably over there pretty bad, because we need to know we need a Savior. And our need for him never changes. And then our tenderness toward him will grow. And we'll not be talked out of walking with Jesus. When people lay out and people back off and people step away, whatever the excuses, whatever the reason, there's reasoning involved. And reasoning is how the devil got involved in the garden and convinced Eve that the apple would be good, even though God said, don't eat it the day before. He said, you don't want to do that. But the devil started reasoning with Eve in her mind and said to her, oh, if you eat that, you'll be like God. And they were already like God. You're already like God. Reasoning is not going to move you into a greater spiritual awakening. It's going to take you away from the truth that's meant to set you free. Compromise will never take you into God's will. It will take you away like a freight train away from the perfect will of God. Reasoning will get you in trouble. This is from Leviticus, Old Testament. It's a great story reduced to a few little verses, a few little phrases, because I don't have a lot of time. Now, this is Leviticus 10, beginning in verse 1. Moses and Aaron were ministering all through Leviticus. It's about the order of atonement. If you don't know it, Saturday was the beginning of atonement, or the day of atonement on the Jewish calendar. And it's the day where the Old Testament teaches that God reviews the books on each of us. He looks over the books and he says, I'm about to close and seal the book. You know, if you're a New Testament scholar, you know in the book of Revelation it says in the judgment that the books are going to be opened by Jesus. If you ever wondered what books those are your personal books. When you appear before that great white throne judgment, your book with your name on it is going to be opened. And how things ended up depends on you. And the Day of Atonement was a day where in the Old Testament church they taught and still teach. If you're going to serve the Lord, this is a time of reckoning where you reckon with yourself. And say, I want to make sure that I know what Jesus saves us from and what he saved me to. Or in the case of the Old Testament church, what God has called them to do and what he's called them out of. You want to know the same thing. And when there's a difference between how we're living and what God says in the Word, we've got to put on the belt. We've got to say, I'm going to be more like you, Jesus. Help me do that. Jesus, I accept you as my sacrifice, not just to save me from hell, but to save me to a righteous kind of holy living that pleases you, so that I look more and more like you all the time and less like the world. And I don't mean just look and how we look, but I mean behavior. Our behavior ought to line up with what the truth says, or we're going a wrong direction. Now, these guys were priests, and they were leading the people in how they could get their atonement, how they could be all right with God, how they could fix the books, How they could pray and fast and go before the Lord and get things erased out of the book before it was closed and sealed. That's what Jesus does for us, you know. And it isn't a one-time thing. It's a continual thing where we say, Jesus, I repent. Your power working in me is going to help me do better. I'm going to put on the belt and suck it up a little bit. I'm not going back there. I won't do that again. I can power lift my way through this. I can get a victory here. And you're going to help me get the victory. You know, grace comes on at the doing and putting on of the truth. It doesn't come from wishful thinking. It comes by saying, I need something working in me that has God's authority in it that says, I'm going to push through this thing. Otherwise, we lift the weight and it comes crashing down on our chest and it'll crush the life out of you if you're not careful. Say what? Yeah, the same word that's meant to set you free can come down on you and give you a feeling of condemnation. Why? You got to wear it the right way. It's to accomplish something. It's to know what we're to do. Now, there were two boys, Nadab and Abihu, that were Aaron's sons. And it says that they decided they were going to go in and hurry up the atonement. They wanted to go in and make some things right for the people. I think they meant well, but they were acting in ignorance. And it says they offered up strange fire unto the Lord. Did you know the Lord has a holy way? A holy way he wants to have relationship with you. Then there's all this other stuff called strange fire. A lot of preaching that I think exists in the world is strange fire, and it's not all under the banner of other religions. Some of it takes the very purpose of God out and elevates the purpose of man. If all you heard from me is how God wanted to bless you, I would be doing the same thing. He does want to bless you, but that's not just the heart of God wanting to bless you. He wants you to look like him, so he has a people in the earth called holy and separated unto him. That there's some example of people living for Jesus in the earth. That's what he really wants. We don't do that trying to be like the world. We do that trying to be like Jesus. That's what the belt of truth will do. If you embrace it, it'll make you appear to be more like him. And then the strengthening comes. Did you know this will make me feel like I can do it before I can do it? And if I keep this around me, it protects the vulnerability of my lower back. So why would I do that? To protect vulnerability? Why? God still wants me to be able to lift, bear up the weight, and exceed it. Now, he says, and there went out fire from the Lord. They gave strange fire, and their fire came out from the Lord. And to paraphrase it, they were toast. See, sometimes we wonder why we lack ability and why we just got burned. I'm telling you why. When we try to do things in our reasoning, we'll get burned. So, well, why would the Lord send out strange fire? He's holy. He went on to answer why it disturbed these guys. I'm sure that Aaron was thinking, God, you just took out my two boys, and they were in priest robes. They're good boys. They're trying to do right. But they were doing right beyond what they were supposed to be doing. They were doing right in their own eyes and not in God's eyes. They violated the holy standard. Now today we've got it easier in the new covenant, but you can still violate the holy standard. The holy standard requires one of these. It requires you to willingly put it on and say, I'm going to put on God's word instead of compromise. I'm going to put on God's word so that I can be stronger than I really am. I'm going to put on God's word so I can exceed my own ability in the natural. I'm going to show what I can do if I live after God in the spirit. Now, then Moses said unto Aaron, Moses being the leader, God's appointed leader, he better hear from heaven. Here's what he said. He said, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come near me, and before all the people I will be glorified. He's saying, if you're going to compromise my standard, you're going to get burned. So, well, that's Old Testament, Pastor. Still, same devil still in the earth that was here in the Old Testament. It's still the same word of truth that can set us free, but Jesus made it easier. You don't need a go-between. Pastor can't protect you in this. You got to protect your own self in this. You've got to put on the belt on your own. I'm just pointing to it and showing you what that looks like and how you do that. He said, I will be sanctified in them that come near me. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to put up with shenanigans. I'm not going to put up with ignorance. So, well, that doesn't sound like a loving God to me. No, he's warning us up front. His purpose for us is to be holy. That's why Jesus living in you is the Holy Spirit, not the human spirit. You've already got your human spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in there to make your human spirit holy so that the rest of you has a shot and has a chance at pleasing God. So you see, there are many, many people in the earth thinking that God's just, his grace is extending toward them in their current condition. Only if they're repentant in their current fallen position. They're saying, God, I'm going to embrace your power to do this instead of trying to do it in my own strength and failing. Now, this is a spiritual truth that'll help you. God is not okay with whatever. See, one of the words that has invaded modern culture because the church is not standing up strong is whatever. Okay, whatever. Everybody, and now there's how many gender identifications? There's how many whatevers? There's how many different degrees of Christianity? No, there's the real and there's the not. That's how it is. Now, God will act to preserve his reputation of holiness. The more you grow in the things of God, the more you recognize you're a living example of what he wants people to learn. More than my ability to preach or teach, I have to recognize my ability to walk before you is more important to you. For you to have some example of what does a child of God live like and act like and look like. And it makes me feel very vulnerable sometimes because I'm very imperfect in it. But I've learned to do one thing consistently. I put this baby on before I'm dealing with anything. Because I know that otherwise I'm not going to really have a leg to stand on very long. And I want you to do the same thing. God calls imperfect people to do a work. He calls a work of righteousness. And when we put this thing on, God says, I see him as holy. I see her as holy. I see the power that I can put in them. Why? Without putting this on, he can't vest his power in us. We'd fall apart with it. We have to have truth to walk in power. I want to tell you something. Young people are looking for the truth of the gospel. Let me see the power of God. Well, they're doing that partly in ignorance because they don't know that truth is what gets power. It's not something that we choose on our own. It's something that we embrace because God said it. And the power comes and the power flows. And sometimes the tighter I put this thing around me, the more the power of God can come. Some of the best preaching in the world comes when the preacher's had to cinch his belt in a little bit. So is that what happened to you, Pastor? Yes. And many times I just choose to do it. Now, he will act to preserve his reputation. That's why people can get in such trouble. Live in this kind of liberty they think they've got for a while, and then they get a little bit older and their life ends early. Many people who are in the public eye in ministry go early because somehow they got their sights off of the holiness of God. When we're before people and you're a people called to be before people, you're an example to your kids if nobody else. Did you know God wants you to be like Jesus to your kids first? You're their best example. And they will mimic your example when they fly the nest. What your priorities are, if you've compromised, they're likely compromised more than you. That's statistically proven. If you decide it's okay, oh well, the scripture says it's okay to drink. I'm going to have a drink once in a while. Watch them struggle with alcoholism. Yes, you could take that liberty, but was it really smart? You know, the Bible gives us liberty to do a lot of things, but there are still consequences to not embracing the highest truth. The highest truth says he wants me to be free of all of this stuff, free of all the diseases of Egypt. Did you know the diseases of Egypt mostly came upon Egypt because of their diet and lifestyle? So you see, we can choose to be healthy, and it's part of the road to be holy. Well, Pastor, you're getting off a little bit. No, I'm not. Study what scriptures say. I'm an example. I've lived an example of that. I know what I'm talking about. So how and where does lawlessness start? It starts in reasoning. It starts with compromise. It starts with saying, well, God would make an exception in this situation. God never makes an exception to his word. He doesn't go against his word. His word is forever settled in heaven, so much so that Jesus is the personification of God's word. And it says of him in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He has no shadow of turning in him. He's not going to change his mind, change his appearance. He's right out there, the bright light to look into, and squint your eyes if you have to. He's changing not. What does that say? He will not bring compromise of his word in your life. That's always the devil getting into reasoning. I'm going to tell you the greatest thing that steals your ability to walk in the power of God is reasoning. That's where the devil gets a foothold. Now, Jesus wants to save us from that. So I thought I was saved from that. When you embrace it, you are. So we still live in a fallen world, and rules still apply unless you usurp them with God's rule, the truth. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says we should not let Satan get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That means evil purposes. Did you know you can mean to be doing good by compromising? Saying, well, I need to do this. I need to meet my kid halfway. Well, if halfway involves not doing the word, you have given in to the devil's evil intention, and there's more to this story that you're going to find out later. You're going to find out that was a mistake. Why did I ever do that? How did I let them talk me into that? Because they are persuasive. Why? They learned that from you. You learned that by trying to get God to change his mind, but you lost. When you have a battle and you've lost with God because his word is true, you need to tell the kids. I was getting in my own mind in this. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Boy, do kids, when we can let kids learn from our own mistakes, they'll be miles ahead. Why? They can learn from it. Say, I choose to believe that. I just choose to do this the right way, the truth way. Well, the devil gets in by creating strife and division. You'll always find truth and unity when everybody agrees we're going to do it God's way. What does the scripture say? That's what brings unity and agreement. Because we're first in unity and agreement with God. You have to agree as a family. You have to agree as a small group. You have to agree as a church. We're going to embrace God's word as the truth. And we're not going to change our mind on that. I'm not going to back down on that. I'm going to keep that belt around me no matter what I'm dealing with. No matter how I'm running or what's going on in my life. I'm going to keep that thing on. And that's my standard. And when the enemy challenges that, even through people I love, I'm going to bring the correction that it takes to keep the belt on me and the belt on the family. Dad, that begins with you. Mama, then it flows through you. Dad and mommy better both embrace the truth, or the devil will get in there through reasoning and compromise, and you will very soon give license for others to walk away from the ways of God. And when we walk away from the ways of God, we can call it, I'm doing this so that they will have an awakening. Awakening never comes by compromise. It comes by confrontation of the truth. I remember confrontation from another kind of belt. There were three boys. We were ornery. Everybody says we were ornery. All the aunts and uncles and grandparents said we were ornery. I remember what curtailed ornery quick. Dad would take his belt off, and you'd hear it slide out of the jeans. It'd slide out kind of quick, and you knew he wasn't disrobing. I mean, he was making a statement. And if you didn't get quiet instantly, he'd hold it together and pop, make this snapping sound that sounded a lot like how it would be if it hits you right there, you know. And it would instantly cause us to change behavior. It didn't make our thoughts change instantly. It made our behavior change instantly. Then if our behavior changed, then our thoughts might change, and we might say what our new thought is. Mom, I'm sorry I was sassy. And Dad would hear the changed thought, not just the changed behavior, and he'd put the belt on or go to the shower, whatever he wanted to do next, but the belt wasn't coming our way. Different kind of belt, still the belt of truth, still a picture of how we should regard the holiness of God. Don't make him snap to get our attention. Choose to behave like Jesus in the first place, and everybody will be happy. Take a stand or you'll get run over. This is Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord. You have to have this truth on to be strong in the Lord, or you'll be a weakling. You're not meant to bear up under the devil's attack without God's help. You got to have it. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means his cunning art, his deceit, his trickery. What better way to get to you than to operate in people close to you? What better way to get you to compromise? But I love my son. I can't tell him that the homosexual lifestyle is wrong. Well, you waiting for the preacher to have to do it? He will. Why? As the scripture says, that's the truth. Yet the world and many churches today say, well, people can't help it. They're born that way. There's a spirit involved. I've been in several situations learning about rehab programs through my life. Not because I needed to rehab from drugs. Okay, I'm not a druggie. Never did drugs. But I have learned people need to be set free. People become desperate. People become addicted. And most of the programs out there say, once an addict, always an addict. You just have to work within it and have accountability. Well, that's a half-truth. You'll be bettered by having some accountability, but you'll be set free by putting on the truth that there's a spirit behind that trying to take us away from the best God has to offer. And we can settle in our reasoning and say, he can't help it, she can't help it. That's how it is. They had access at an early age. All their friends did dope. This is just how it is. Or we can say, enough of that already. The truth can set me free. And we have to choose to believe. What truth do we want? The highest truth or some halfway truth? What do we want? You know, God's not near as upset, in my opinion, as a person with a person bound to drugs as he is the people that have enough truth to set them free that don't. I mean, where is the greater responsibility? Somebody's got to speak the truth. And you do it in love. You don't do it because you're aggravated at their addiction. You do it because you truly want them set free. We don't do it out of aggravation. That's not love. That's something else, pride usually, or aggravation. We do it in love, saying, you know, they don't have to be an addict forever. They don't have to be in sessions forever. They need one good session with the King of Kings, laying the belt around their middle, and they put the clasp on and say, I'm going to do God's word, God's way. And they might struggle for a while keeping the belt on, but you teach them how to keep it on, and they'll learn how. I believe that. Why? The Holy Spirit says there's deliverance from all kinds of trouble. I believe he knew what he said when he said all kinds. Now, the belt of truth is the first piece you put on. If you look down there in verse 14, I got to put it on now. Can you hold that for me? All right. Thank you. I got to put it on now. I told you it's made for a smaller man. This is made for a 30-inch waist man, and I'm not. All right. And if I hadn't gained weight from eating so much while I'm on vacation, I'd be a little better off moving it. Oh, moving the microphone. That's why it got harder. It wasn't the fat roll. It was the microphone. All right. See, I don't know. That's about a 30 waist right there. I'll push it down a little bit so there's no bulge underneath there. See? That I can feel that, boy. Thank you. Where'd the microphone go? All right. He's got it clipped on somewhere. I better leave the belt on then. That's kind of a trick. I wasn't going to leave it on that long. That'll make me finish in a hurry. Why? I can feel pressure in my head. It's so tight. You know what I'm talking about? My face turning red. It feels like turning red. It's not embarrassment. It's a constriction. Isn't it interesting? It makes my head feel different. See, the belt of truth will change the way you think. Now, to hold it all together while I'm dealing with the wiles of the devil. He's out to trick you. He's out to trick your family. He's out to dupe you. He's out to deceive you. He'll do that by taking a little bit of truth and causing you to elevate a little bit of truth. Say, well, I've got to love him. Yep. Called to love him. But love means we teach him to do God's word, doesn't it? Somebody's got to put the belt on. Daddy, mama, you got to put the belt on. Kids growing up got to choose to put the belt on. I learned when the belt came off how to put the belt on. Dad take his off and snap it, and I'd put my good behavior belt on. I'd put my respect belt on. I'd put my belt that squeezed out sassy on. I'd put my belt on that said honor and respect. Otherwise, the other belt would come and teach me something about it. Which way do we want to live? The one called discipline or the one called correction? Which would we rather? Discipline's better. All right. Now, be the one who sees past the giant in the land. The giant in the land is reasoning. The giant in the land is intermingled and intermeddled with God's church. The giant in the land is trying to create a hybrid religion instead of one truth to set people free. The hybrid religion says we've got to appeal and relate to all people. Now, you do that, you're going the way of the enemy. We're to appeal to holy God. We're to pattern ourselves after a holy God to the best of our ability. And when we know our ability is not going to measure up, we put the belt of truth on and say, you're going to squeeze this into me. I'm going to become that. I'm not going to give up being like this over here. And we have this sense of restriction. We have this sense of control. We have this sense of empowerment that comes from heaven. And we don't feel quite like we did before we put it on, but we don't fully feel set free either. Why? He's molding me into the image of Jesus. Jesus must have a little waist because I can feel the restriction. You know what? If I wear this come lunchtime, I won't probably eat 3 bites. Why? It'll make me sick. Why? I'm going to have to become conformed to what I just put on. Be ready to have some hungry days if you want to have some blessed years. Be ready to embrace the truth of God that way. We're about to finish. This is from Numbers 14:28. The children of Israel were going in to possess the promised land. Everywhere they looked, there were giants. Everywhere you look, there's going to be opposition that's bigger than you think you are. Everywhere you look, there's going to be a situation that looms big in the life of people. If you're not careful, your kids will talk you out of serving a supernatural God. And if your kids succeed, be careful your work might try to talk you out of it. If you succeed at work and with your kids, be careful some external force that is unfair to you might try to change your mind about the things of God. You've got to be resolute and determined. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to live by faith in the Word. I'm going to live by my faith in the Son of God. I'm going to put this belt on and I'm not going to take it off. I'm not going to become something else because of modern culture. I'm going to become more holy instead of less holy, making excuses for myself because, after all, I had somebody say this to me this week. I know you'll know how to pray for me. Oh, that made me feel good. I'm like, that's happy. Somebody in public, not a church person, somebody you wouldn't know. So I'm thinking, wonderful, they're coming to me. I know that you know, because we live in this generation, there's such great temptation, we can't help ourselves. And I thought, ooh, this feels unclean. This feels icky. Not comfortable with this. I said, we want to have a discussion about this? Yes, I called 3 other people over. So we're having a discussion, a spiritual discussion. Why? It got uncomfortable quick. So I'm here to tell you, God loves you as you are. So much he won't leave you as you are. And his answer is always to choose to embrace the truth. I said, I can present the truth to you and you either embrace it and he will change you, or you reject it and he will leave you the same and the enemy will get a foothold and take you down by the thing tempting you. That's how temptation works. It's meant first to get you away from the holiness of God so it can compromise you somehow against God's word so the enemy can get a foothold, because all you've got to stand on, the legs you stand on, are God's word, the word of truth. Stand to your feet. Heavenly Father, today we give ourselves to you wholly and completely to do your will and your work in us. Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you awaken us to righteousness, that we don't operate in sin, that we don't operate in compromise, that, Father, we find our place in the body of Christ, our rightful place to stand strong. We'll not be talked out of it. Father, I rebuke the enemy that's come against families, that's come against every person who's connected to other people. Satan, turn loose and let go. You will not distort. You will not destroy by bringing confusion and compromise, but we will be the people of God that stand on the truth and be set free. We'll not be duped by the spirits in this world, but we'll be led by the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, empower your people with an anointing this morning. A smeared on unction that came from your word this morning, that came by your spirit this morning, to rise up as strong and put on the belt of truth, to learn to stand on their own. Father, the belt of truth is not something that exists in heaven's nursery, but it exists in higher places of education, Father, where we embrace your truth and say, I'm going to be free and I'm going to stay free and I'm going to put this thing around me as if it grows right into my flesh and transforms my very being. Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name that your anointing now break every yoke. Yes. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we allow your Holy Spirit to break every curse, every yoke, every kind of compromise. We'll not become something less. We will become someone who has more. Father, we'll not be diminished or impoverished in the spirit, but we'll be made strong, healthy, and wealthy, spirit, soul, and body. Yes. And we'll keep that order and not enter into a place of chaos doing our own thing or thinking our own way. Heavenly Father, help those anointed to confront the enemy, not the people, but the enemy, to confront the enemy and take back their authority. Father, we'll not be compromised in this world that's so much about that, but we'll be pleasing to you and more holy like you are. We'll not make excuses, but we'll rather embrace the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.